It's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the pearl.
Welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Still to come on the program, State Representative Cynthia Allman, first time on the program. As I was telling the audience earlier, we're getting a lot of these members in that we've never had on before. So I think by the time the session's over, we'll have had every Republican member on the show at least once. So that's quite a feat. State Senator Sam Gavan in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Stay tuned for that. But joining us now, kind of the guest of honor here, rarefied air, House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter joins us. Speaker, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jess. Good to be with you. Certainly always good to be with you.
Thanks for coming on. Always appreciate your time. It's always good to hear from you. Well, you and I were talking kind of off air here. A very busy session, right? Very, very.
Probably one of the more busy ones that I've been involved in, for sure. And we've had a lot going on, a lot of legislation moved.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot out of the way early. Like the hot button stuff, the divisive concepts, school choice, whether we want to acknowledge it was, I think, a hot button. But you got that stuff, the ballot harvesting done. You got a lot of, because a lot of your members were kind of getting antsy wanting this done, and you got put off, sometimes twice or three times.
Yeah.
Now you get that out of the way. And it is like historically, bills like we see kind of come after the BIR is taken care of. You get the budgets out of the way, and then that's it's right. Kind of free for all. What does the post budget House look like even now, you think?
Yeah, I think one of the things that the pro tem and I talked about is kind of setting the agenda and how we'd start the session. Of course, the ballot harvesting and the DEI, that's some of the things that we had passed those two out of the House previously before the Senate had gotten them out. And that's one thing we had talked about. You guys, I told Greg, you guys pass those out, we'll take them up, because I knew we would have a lot of debate and we may have to even do a cloture motion on that, but we'd gotten them out before and I knew we could get them out again. So that's kind of where he wanted to start, and I think we were able to do that pretty good. I mean, everything went pretty good.
Well, what happens is y'all get them done and they go upstairs and then the clock is ticking and you have members who could much different chamber, slow things down, and your time runs out.
That's right. And that happens. It happens not just on those particular bills. It happens on a lot of different bills, and sometimes, so what we'll do a lot of times, one thing, with the ballot harvesting, there's a little bit of work that needed to be done on it. Greg's seen that. He and I talked about it, understood where they were at on that. I got it. So we were able to get it back for the election cycle, which I thought was good. I think, you and I are aware of Coach Turville's campaign where that actually happened.
Right.
And so I had experienced it firsthand and seen it working in his campaign. So I was glad to see us get that out. I think it makes it our election better, and I'm excited for to see what happens in the future.
Well, see, the second congressional district could be a important factor there, right?
It could be. It absolutely could be. And certainly that's something we need to keep an eye on, and we'll kind of see how it goes.
Let's move on to the million-dollar topic right now. I mean, just literally. But gambling in Alabama, and you have a bill. The Senate had their bill. You voted to not concur. You can point to the conferees. You and I are talking about this off air as well. It sounds like the Senate is going to reciprocate and it's actually going to have some conferees. You're going to go to conference committee.
Right.
Any inkling of what that's going to be like?
No, I think looking at it, this bill is no different than any other that we have a disagreement on. And when they go to conference, they try to come to some type of agreement and bring it back for a vote. Yeah, I feel like that the conferees that we've appointed, and I know who Greg's going to appoint, he's told me, and I feel like, they're all level-headed, good people, and I think they'll come up with something. I do think something will come out of conference, where we can get it voted out on the floor or not. I don't know that. I mean, it's a process. It takes a while, and that's kind of the way we worked it. I mean, it took a while. When we appointed the committee to try to start to do something, because I'd had so many people wanting to do another CA or do this or do that, and I thought, man, we can't. We already got a mess with all that. So my thing was to try to clean all of it up. And that's what I asked them to do, kind of find out what's going on. I never thought or never knew, Jeff, they'd find as many illegal operations as what's out there. And there's no question we got organized crime running a lot of that. I mean, because it's all set up the same way. So, you don't know when we got into it, it was a little more than we thought. And so, but I do think that we'll see something come out. I know the people want to vote on it. I get that. I mean, we've seen the polling. It polls very well. So We just got to make sure we tighten it as tight as we can and try to eliminate as much of the illegals as we can.
Well, and this is what occurs to me, Speaker, that, and you've been down this path before with gambling and these comprehensive packages. And I guess, well, Senator Marsh probably 5-6 years ago got the Horse Creek Indians and the Dog Track guys, and they all came together and they hatched out a plan. Mm-hmm. And then somebody forgot to tell the House. They sent you a bill that was just unworkable, like you said. Yeah. And then you guys kind of did the same thing. It just seems like the Senate was left out.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, let me, that's not right. Really? Let me say this. I mean, so we had senators on the committee. You know, Al Britton and Randy Price was on the committee from the get-go. So the Senate was involved from day one. You know, they were involved. The governor's people was involved. The House was involved. So they worked in it as a tandem. I mean, that's not correct to say that they weren't involved, because they were. Now, how much did they communicate to their colleagues? Jeff, I don't know. I can't say that, because it sounds like maybe not as much as they probably should have. The one thing I will say about the two guys that kind of drove the train for the House side was that they had everybody had questions come by and see them. You know, when they were working on it during the process, we actually had 10 different members that had changes to the bill that they made. So I do know what happened in our chamber, and I can't say what happened in theirs, but they were involved from day one.
Or are you surprised? Like, you get it done, and look at all the work you put into it and getting members on board, and just, I mean, it was a real effort. And then, like, the Senate kind of, lukewarm response at best. I mean, like, were you surprised by that?
I was a little bit surprised. I was, I'd be dishonest if I told you I wasn't, because I thought there'd been more communication. And, you know, I know that the pro team and I had talked about it from day one. I mean, we knew what was going to go on in both chambers. So, the biggest thing to kill in a bill that I've seen since my tenure here is lack of communication. I mean, it really is. If you think about it, there's nothing that most of the time can't be worked out. And that's one thing I've always tried to do when I was doing legislation, is we had a tough bill, and we passed some tough bills to get both sides to the table trying to iron it out. And I thought, with the Senate being involved, that's what they had done. I mean, I really did. And so I was a little bit, I didn't really understand the process of waiting as long, you know, and I was hoping it'd either vote up or vote down. Because I'm telling you, from my seat as Speaker, it sucks all the oxygen out of the room. I think this is a thing that we got to get out of the way at some point. Now, you know, if people vote it down, that's fine. But I think people want to vote, whether they want to vote for it or whether they want to vote against it. Our polling shows that over 80% of the people want the right to vote. So I don't think we should take people's rights away from them when it comes to voting.
Well, and getting back to the working relationship between the House and the Senate, I mean, I know it's always, there's always differences, and it's just historically the nature of our system here. But, like, what's the working relationship between the House and the Senate right now?
I think it's as good as it's ever been. You know, the thing about it is, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Greg Reed. I really do. And I think he does a great job. I think, you know, sometimes there's difficult issues that we all have to try to work through. But as a whole, I think, they've got a good group of men and women up there, and we try to work with them. I mean, I think if you look at what we've done as a whole from a legislative body and what we've accomplished over the past few years, it's pretty impressive. I mean, if you look at the number of jobs that's been brought into Alabama, over 80,000 jobs, almost $50 billion worth of investment. A lot of that come off incentive package that we've done for economic development. If you look at our education system with school choice, Alabama's now become one of the top five school choice states in the country. You know, I mean, you've known each other for a long time. I mean, would we have ever thought that could have happened? I'll be honest with you, I didn't.
Yeah.
So I think we've done a lot of things that has been positive for our state, and the growth proves that. So working together and with them is about the only way you can do that.
Well, let's talk about something else. Another hot button, I guess, kind of came up on this program last week. Stan McDonald made an appearance, and the ethics. What is kind of talk about that, where we are on that. You got that out. Why has that been a priority this year? And talk about where we are in the process.
Yeah, I mean, I think Chairman Simpson's done a tremendous job on that. He really has. He's kind of worked really hard with everybody involved. He's got several different attorneys involved, and they've kind of worked through the process and see what he's done. I think your show actually has put a prime example on why we need work on ethics commission. Thank you for doing that. when you got an ethics commissioner that's on your show, that has broke an ethics law and he's not aware of it, that's a problem. Right. And so that's kind of where we're at with the ethics law. You know, when they passed it, I think their intent was good. I think it was strong. But the problem is because nobody really knows, point being the guy that was on your show that's on the commission that didn't understand what right. he had done. And so if he don't understand it, he's on the commission. So how is the teacher that works in Vestavia Hills understand it? Or how did my thing was when Matt come and asked me about it, because there had been so much talk about it, it needs to be more transparent where people can understand it. You know, our people in the House and the Senate, I feel strong about this. 99.9% of them's going to do what's right. They're going to stay behind the line.
Right.
The problem is, where's the line? Well, and so that's what they're trying to clear up.
And I don't know if this is the right solution or not. But when I talk to these commissioners and people that are on their side, there's a problem. Like you have weird situation with a turf war. I think the AG and the commission, and you need to define those terms a little clearly. We went through this with the Hubbard saga, right. like the definitions, that's principle, right. and all of that.
100%.
And something else that, you know, and I talked to new members that go through orientation, and you do your ethics seminar.
Yeah.
Three attorneys, right? And you ask them a question, they will all give you different answers, sometimes very contradictory answers.
I was in the room when it happened. I mean, that's not hearsay. I'm in there. We had the three different attorneys that were supposed to be ethics experts. And the question was asked, and all three give a different answer. I mean, when that's a problem, you know, and then naming what a principle is, and, you know, we couldn't, right. we never have clarified that. This bill does that. You
we
know.
Need to rely on a judge to determine.
That's right.
It's the judge's interpretation, and that's the thing that is, you know, constitutionally, the legislature is supposed to define.
Yeah. Well, you're 100% right. And, you know, we went through all that. We've seen some of those areas where it need to be cleaned up in that trial, even. And then after the trial, you know, the attorneys were saying, you know, this is something y'all need to clean up. And there has been, you know, when they did, I guess, the 2018 report, they talked about the Ethics Commission. Their ethics laws need to be clearer. And so I think that was what had driven it. When they passed it in 2010, they did it in a hurry. You know, we all know that. And the intent was good. I mean, I think their intent was really good. But because of it being passed in such a hurry, we've seen a lot of loopholes, a lot of problems with it. It's not clarified. I think Matt's done a really good job. You know, he's been with everybody. The district attorneys has endorsed this. And then, of course, the AG hadn't, but I think the AG would rather it be under his privy, which I understand that. But I think with the law he's got and what he's done a really good job.
Well, I guess the phase now, the Senate has it. Do we have any sense of a Senate sponsor, where that's going to go? This gets back to the working relationship, I guess, between the two chambers. Like, how do you think that's going
to
go?
Yeah, I've talked to Senator Reid about that. We've kind of discussed a couple of different people. I know Matt has actually sent a copy, I think, to a attorney up there. And so they're working through that process. And I think once that they go through it, and I'm going to be honest with you, Jeff, you know, I thank you for what you do. I think you bring a lot of light to a lot of different things. But, you know, when you brought up when we had a commissioner on here, which is a friend of mine and yours both,
right.
and we've worked with him in the past.
Tuberville's campaign.
Yeah, we worked right. together. So he and I was co-chairs in that campaign. But when he doesn't, you know, the law's not clarified enough to where that the commissioners get it. That's a problem. And, you know, that was kind of brought out in your show. And of course, I hate it happened the way it did because he's a friend of mine and yours both. But, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is fact, and we can't change that. So I do think that they'll take enough time to look at it. I know that I know Senator Gavan and some of the others has got the bill and been studying and going through it, Senator Barfoot, and I think Jabbo is looking at it. So, you know, this is a process. We don't need to do what we did last time, get in too big a hurry
and
rush it. So they need to take their time. I mean, we still got enough days to get it passed. If they want to make some adjustments, they certainly have the opportunity to do that.
Last question, just a few more minutes here, but let's talk with this workforce package of bills. You and I are talking this a little bit. That still seems like it's kind of a work in progress, but it's interesting. This is coming at a time during the session. So you got a lot of things done already,
right.
and you've chosen to come in the middle of the session. Where Where are we on that? How you feel about that?
I feel good about it. Yeah, I think we've got some good bills. There's one that's a little problematic that we'll have to work through and kind of see what happens. I think for the whole part, you know, the child care tax credit to me could be one that helps our underemployment. I mean, that's one of the things we looked at. When we put the committee together, they come back and said, you know, when you got a mom that's single and you got two kids, it's hard for them to pay $12,000 per child a year and, right. and work. So I think that's hindering, you know, those folks getting into the workforce. We got over 85,000 families in our state that need some kind of child care. So I think this, that's a big one to me. So I think the pathway diploma is big. I just got out of the Wexler before I walked down here. I was in a meeting with Dr. Mackey. We went through all that. I think that's going to help us tremendously in a lot of different areas. I think it's thinking outside the box. It gives our kids opportunity to go into a career that may not want to get a college degree. And not only that, I think it gives those kids that do want to get a college degree more focus on what they can do, because it splits those kids off for the ones that don't want to do it and gives them opportunity to get a pathway where you can be successful in life. And I think that's what our goal should be in education.
Well, and kind of tie it to this real quick, and this push to unionize some of these places around the state, some of these auto dealers, manufacturers, I mean, some of this seems like this would be is to counter some of that. I mean, you know, does that come into play? Is that maybe why there's a little bit of urgency here?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, I think it does come into play. I mean, the thing about it is we don't need unions in Alabama. When we look at the success we've had, we're number one in exporting automobiles today. Who would have ever thought that? You know, we're in the top five in shipbuilding. We're number one in commercial airlines. We're in the top five in research now in Alabama. You know, so it's pretty clear we don't need the unions. We've done pretty good on our own. And I think having these kids to fill that pathway going forward and doing it when we catch them younger in school is going to be a successful way to fill those positions without the unions bothering them.
To be continued. Speaker, I know you're a busy man, but you've always been generous with your time. You've always been good to this show. Yeah. We do appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, last time, you know, I know you're an Auburn fan. See, I know that, Jeff. And last time we was on this time of year, we talked about Auburn basketball, but I knew she didn't mention Alabama basketball today, so I just wanted to bring that up.
It's over now. Speaker, let Nathaniel Ledbetter there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.